UK's biggest ever product launch has just celebrated its second anniversary and will introduce a second weekly draw from February. It costs just £1 to take part each time, and depending on the luck of the draw, it could mean a return of millions. Sounds great, but the chances of winning the big jackpot are 14 million to one. Huh, so why do we do it? Why do we feel so drawn to playing? Are we going to be addicted for life? What forces have been at play? Come on, why do we talk about it more than the weather? Is it really just a bit of harmless fun? The guy who tells us which balls have dropped points out that it is voluntary.
You're not actually forced to take part in the lottery. Nobody twists your arm to that degree.
Stan won 3 million and still plays, but he says it's not for wanting more money.
The dream is winning it, but I've had that dream, and the dream doesn't mean what I thought it would mean.
The aim of the lottery, of course, is to get extra cash to the so-called good causes, such as Truro's new Hall for Cornwall. Sarah Smith is their delighted appeal director.
The Hall for Cornwall is a multi-purpose hall, which is situated in the centre of Truro, and they anticipate that we will put into the local economy about 20 million within the next 5 years.
The lottery organisers Camelot are more than happy with the good that they can do with our pounds. Peter Hare-Scott is one of their 12 regional managers.
Before long, there won't be a community anywhere in the United Kingdom that isn't in some way going to benefit from lottery funding.
So that's why we all play, is it? Barry Lees, a Methodist church minister, isn't so sure.
People are looking when they buy their lottery ticket. They're not, honestly, I don't think, looking to support the good causes or to build a new opera house or to buy some historic documents. I think they're looking at the momentum grid.
It's you.
Buy a ticket and this Saturday, it could be you.
The thought of our spare cash going to a few charities through the lottery was expected to have a detrimental effect on smaller local charities. The Charities Aid Foundation is a charity in itself, helping charities and donators.
Before the lottery was introduced, there was a lot of concern by charities that it would basically conflict with trying to raise funds from individuals. Although we saw before the lottery was introduced that that was already a trend to an extent. But charities have also been succeeding quite well in gaining grants from the Lottery Charities Board, the Sports Board and the Arts Board.
But if we are all concerned with helping charities, why were the government so keen to see a successful birth for the lottery? How will giving to charity benefit them? Someone who felt the impact of the government's favouritism was the pools company Littlewoods. Their spokesman, Mike Burkett.
Well, the National Lottery, when it was launched in November of 1994, completely altered the way the soft gaming market in Britain was set up. And in fact, it swelled the market from around £1 billion a year to, I think it's around £5 billion a year now. And part of the Littlewoods Pools argument, which we had at the time with the government, and which we still have to a certain extent, is the way in which the lottery were given all of the advantages for their setup, and the pools industry and other industries were restricted in the way in which they could carry on their business.
What the lottery has meant to most of us is a regular pound or two being dabbled with every Saturday night. How many of us realise that it's gambling? And that gambling is addictive. With horrible odds compared to those of horse betting and fruit machines, why do we all accept the lottery? Luke Fitzherbert is the editor of the National Lottery Yearbook and works for the Directory of Social Change, a charity that provides financial and management information and training for voluntary organisations.
It has certainly succeeded in making gambling more respectable than it used to be. Partly because, contrary to government promises at the time, other parts of the gambling industry have demanded and got freedoms to advertise and publicise their stuff in a way which they weren't allowed to before.
Vic is a volunteer for Gamblers Anonymous.
The justification is, oh, well, it's for a good cause, and so people make it right in their own mind, and if when they lose and spend all this money, and they think, well, it's for a good cause, and that's how they make it right, but it's gambling, full stop.
For as long as she can remember, Julie's father has had a gambling problem. She told us how her mother had to hide any money in the house.
He used to bring home his wage packet, as you did then, it didn't get paid into a bank, and he used to take money out of it, but he knew he had to give her a token amount, and she'd take control of whatever he brought in. I think the worst experience was when I had a piggy bank which money from relatives had gone in, and I think there was about £50 in there. And one day he actually got it and was so desperate for money that he smashed it.
On the other hand, aren't we just helping the lottery and other forms of gambling to become an acceptable part of everyday life? New research has confirmed one of the most frequent arguments thrown at the lottery, the availability of the lottery, and more significantly, scratch cards, to teenagers and the under-16s. Gamblers Anonymous gave us an example of a phone call they might receive from an anxious parent.
My son's 14, and he's doing this and he's doing that, he's in trouble with the police, and obviously, which has already got severely out of hand.
Back to Camelot.
It is in fact something we take extremely seriously. And the ultimate sanction, if we have proof of a retailer selling to under-16s, is that their terminal can be removed. And indeed, that has happened.
Unfortunately, Virginia Bottomley, the government minister responsible for overseeing the National Lottery and its regulator Ofwat, was unavailable for any comment. But Gamblers Anonymous do say it's too early for a serious lottery gambling problem to come to light. But Camelot do say they're ready.
That we do take our responsibility seriously, and if we do find evidence that there is a major gambling problem as a result of the lottery, then of course we work with whoever we have to work with, whether it's church, Gamblers Anonymous or whoever. But I think the government looked at all these arguments before it decided to have a national lottery. And it has shown, I think, that those countries that have had a lottery for a number of years have no more of a gambling problem than we had before.
It's easy to fall into the gambling trap without realising it. The Maunder family spend £5 a week on the lottery, which by their own admission is beyond their means. They're in a position now where they feel they can't go back.
We have set numbers which we put in every week, and basically we know those numbers off by heart, and that is why we spend that amount of money now, even though we can't afford it.
And of course the odds are completely against winning that all-enticing jackpot. Come 8:05 on a Saturday night, most of us haven't won a sausage. We might not all be pinning our last final hope on it, but we've all felt the effects of that come down. So it's affecting society, even if it's just 8:05 on a Saturday. Back to Julie.
I think it affects it in a tremendous way. It's just the whole attitude. I find really worrying, having looked at the compulsive gambler, knowing what gambling does. And it's the emotional thing. It's the fact that they get their hopes so high about winning that everything is built on that hope, and suddenly when that hope is dashed, like every Saturday night when those numbers don't come up, that's it. That people end up going into this pit of despair. And it happens with the lottery, because I've seen it in friends of mine that I thought were quite sensible and logical about it.
And even having won his 3 million, Stan's not convinced.
It's the biggest anti-climax anybody could ever see.
If only more of us knew that money isn't all that it's cracked up to be, especially when it means spending more money on the lottery than is sensible. To confirm the reality of the widely held opinion that the poor are spending more, the Directory of Social Change.
The spending on the lottery is remarkably even, right across all sections of the population, except the very rich who don't need it. And the point is that poor people are spending as much as those who've got plenty of money, and they are much less able to afford it. The poorest tenth of the population is spending one-third of its disposable leisure income on the lottery.
Which is a frightening statistic.
It's a form of taxation, voluntary taxation, but it's a form of taxation whereby people give money to the government, which comes back to services which, on the whole, poorer people in society don't enjoy to a fair extent.
So, now, the question that needs asking is, what effect on all that is the new midweek draw going to have?
If the midweek lottery does start up, then, again, we'll feel inclined to spend the same amount of money that we spend now, or basically double the amount of money we spend now, on the lottery. There's a very small chance of winning. Anyway, but we'll have to cut down. I can't see that we can spend that amount of money on the midweek lottery as well.
Thanks to Luke Fitzherbert, the Directory of Social Change.
Midweek lottery, first of all, is being launched on a tide of, I think, misleading propaganda. It's been said, reported widely, that it's because of declining sales of the existing weekly draw and scratch cards, and this is actually just plainly untrue. The existing ones are rising, not falling, and have been for over 4 months. And so I very much resent something being argued for in public on this basis.
So why are Ofwat, the Department of National Heritage, and the government so eager for us to play the National Lottery? Is it really to raise money for the good causes and make some of us millionaires? At face value, the government has given us lower taxes. Is it just a shield for spending less on arts and sport? We're on track to become a gambling nation, addicted to the lottery twice every week. Whose dream are we realising?
That's the dream. The dream is winning it. But I've had that dream. And the dream doesn't mean what I thought it would mean.
And on that note, this is Andrew Davis.